Yo, and welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for August 18th, 2021. I am your host, Janet Garcia, and joining me is Andy Cortez.
What up, everybody? How's it going?
We're making history today. You realize that, right?
The first, wait, in what way?
The first time you and I are doing Games Daily together.
Oh, I thought you're gonna go for, I mean, technically with Kevin on the show, this is still the Minority Report. It's three Latinos. Well, Kevin's Peruvian.
It's a Latino. Why
Yeah, no,
do you have to
I just wanted to call
apologize?
it out, Kevin. A lot of
Thank you,
people,
thank you.
some
Thank
people
you, I
might think
appreciate
you're
it.
Mexican or Cuban or something, just gotta
Cuban,
call it out.
huh?
Never
Nice.
know.
What's your
Never good.
background? I actually don't know offhand.
Mexican.
Just Mexican? I'm half Mexican, half Puerto Rican. Most people don't remember that I'm Puerto Rican because I don't talk about it as often because I'm like closer to my dad's side of the family. But yes, it is one of the many reasons that I talk as fast as
It's
I
a cooler
do.
flag.
It is a
I think
cooler
so.
flag. It's very solid. It is very solid. Yeah, like I, playing Miles Morales, I was like, they really got this on point where why are there like 80 flags here? I'm like, this is, yep, we have it everywhere because it's like it's so cool. And like, obviously Puerto Rican pride's like a huge part of everything. But yeah, I am so excited to do the show, making history today on Pokemon Day, which brings us to today's stories, which include a deep dive into Pokemon Presents, Ubisoft being under investigation, Yakuza and Super Monkey Ball doing a collab crossover situation, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. We're each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. You can check us out, and if you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be part of the show, head over to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free, along with the exclusive daily post show. A thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by, I'm actually not sure offhand because it's not in this document, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin. What is and forever will be the Roper Report? It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
Baker's dozen.
And honestly, I think it's going to be challenging not to make this just 1 hour of Pokemon because there was a lot of stuff shown,
Totally
according to a
fine.
I think it was Nintendo Life who had posted this out, saying that it is the longest like Pokemon style direct that they've had. Granted, that's still only like 28 minutes, but still technically true. And they used all of those minutes. So we're gonna break it down a couple of ways. So they went over side game updates, like free to play stuff, and then they went over the remix they have coming up, and then they went over their new game coming up. So we're gonna kind of divide it into those sections so it's not, 20 minutes of me reading everything that was shown off. So let's kick it off with those side game updates. We had stuff from Pokemon Unite, which will be available for download on mobile devices on September 22nd, 2021. So in anticipation of the launch of the mobile version, pre-registration has now begun on the App Store and on the Google Play Store. If 2.5 million players do the pre-registration, players will receive the Unite license for Pikachu. And if they hit 5 million, you also get a special Holoware festival-style Pikachu. If and when those thresholds are reached, trainers can claim the Pikachu Unite license and Holoware by logging into the mobile version of Pokemon Unite and completing the long event by October 31st, 2021 at 7:59 a.m.
What
PT.
a
It's very
what a
serious.
what a weird little stipulation. That's something that I didn't even notice because we're doing the reacts over on our channel and we're talking shit and just, having fun the whole time because it was a lot of fun. I thought the presentation was a blast, and then there was a lot of hilarious moments with just silly editing, and it was just kind of ripe with content. But I'd never noticed that sort of lower third stinger say a certain amount have to sign it. That's such a weird, pyramid scheme type shit.
Yeah, no, it really is because I feel like, well, it depends on how invested you are at this shared goal. Because we've seen stuff like this before where it's like, across the different games where they're like, oh, if, we saw this with Mario 35 where it's like, if you kill X amount of Bowsers, the community wins. And it's like, I don't know, how invested am I going to get in this? Like, would that be enough for someone, to download it just to kind of help hit that threshold? But I do think the bigger push to download is the fact that you can, you know, log in and have it your same data across the Switch version and the mobile version. So if the random pyramid scheme get free virtual stuff isn't enough to get you in, hopefully that other detail gets you interested. And of course, if you don't have a Switch but wanted to check out Unite, then you can do that on mobile as well. So yeah, you can link up that same account, and I think if you link the accounts too, you get a license for Zeraora as a special gift. I might not be saying that right, so apologies.
That's the really OP Pokemon, Janet. We have a lot of problems with him in the Pokemon Unite community. He's a jungler. I don't know if you're familiar with MOBAs at all. I happen to be a gigantic MOBA fan. That's a total lie. I never played one until Pokemon Unite. The jungler is always running around. Just way too OP, Janet. It was just a bullshit Pokemon. I wanted him out of the game, and I think they patched it. That I haven't really hopped in a while. Kevin, I believe it does, Kevin. Yes, I believe the background does look correct. I'm talking off-channel right now to Kevin. I think it does, Kevin.
All right.
I agree. I concur. Mm-hmm. Also, trainers can look forward to Mebuswine and Sylveon coming soon as the next playable Pokemon. So you have dug into Unite. Are there Pokemon that you're like that you want to come through? Are there Pokemon that you feel like the community is asking for? Like what do Unite fans really want?
I feel like the one thing everybody's clamoring for right now is where's Blastoise? Like, where are any of those evolutions? I don't know if you have played yet, but the way it works is with the way MOBAs are, there's like little NPCs that are, you just kind of beat them up to get XP, and your Pokemon will evolve throughout the match. So like, where's Squirtle at? Why aren't we seeing him, you know, go into Wartortle and then eventually Blastoise? Because Charizard's in the game. Charizard's getting a lot of camera time, and Blastoise, I got to assume it's a contract holdout at this point. You know, Blastoise isn't his agent. They want that big cash, you know?
Yeah, someone mentioned in the chat, OMGLX says Blastoise is in the tutorial, which is messed up. Is
so
he really?
Sad. It's so sad. There's a lot of Pokemon in other areas of the game where, of course, this game is like microtransaction out the ass. And there are so many different areas to go spend money and dollars at, or just sort of various forms of in-game currencies. And there are different areas you go to, and this game is just littered with menus all over the damn place. But there will be sort of a trainer standing there with their friendly Pokemon next to them on the main screen, the sort of like splash screen. So there are a lot of Pokemon in the game, and several of them, I'd say about 30% of them, are not playable because they just kind of exist in some menu or like they just mentioned in the tutorial, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, that seems to be like the new ongoing wave, I think, with Pokemon games, be they mainline or side games, of just wanting like more of the Pokemon. But at this point, there are so many Pokemon, and then they keep coming out with new Pokemon. So it just kind of becomes a lot to, I think, try to please everybody. But certainly having it in the tutorial and not in the main game is a little bit weird. So I guess the good news is this does show that there is intentional ongoing support. And I think the fact that they're porting it to other platforms is a good sign. Sure, you know, they probably already had those plans in place pre-Switch, so I don't necessarily think the Switch reception determined the plans for mobile, but, you know, we can't see it perhaps, like, shaping it or pushing it, so we'll see how that goes as the year and the years go on. We also had an update from Pokemon Cafe Mix. Have you played Pokemon Cafe Mix?
I have not, but Blessing apparently is a gigantic fan, and when I say that, he just kind of loves the art style and takes screenshots of it.
Yeah, okay, so I'm in the same boat. Let me just read off what we have going on with this update, and then I'll give my thoughts on Cafe Mix. So Cafe Mix is getting a revamp and a new name, Cafe Remix,
which
will include, new puzzle elements, more Pokemon, new dress-up options, and more ways of growing and developing the staff Pokemon. Pokemon are now able to eat the delicious meals prepared for them, making them more friendly and more willing to become staff Pokemon, which sounds very odd out of the context of the game. New puzzle skills will make it easier to clear puzzles and will also be introduced in Cafe Remix, as well as the ability to combine megaphones to make them more powerful. Golden acorns collected in the Pokemon Cafe Mix will transfer over to Cafe Mix. Also, do want to shout out, because I think I forgot to mention at the top, for some of this I'm pulling straight from My Nintendo News, which did a really thorough recap of that stuff you're talking about, where it's like the little details. So especially for like stuff like Cafe Mix, stuff like Masters X, like I leaned on them very heavily on getting those little details. Yeah, Cafe Mix It looks so cute. It's so beautiful, but the game is so dull, so painfully dull. Yeah, it's you know, it's a puzzle game. It's sort of touchscreen. It's either directly touchscreen or has like touch mechanics in, you know, the gameplay. And you're kind of just like dragging things around. Like it feels so passive, but not in a way that's enjoyable at all. So yeah, like I don't know. It just doesn't hit.
It looks sort of like a game that you use while you're on the toilet. Like it just kind of looks like, you know, I'm just going to have fun and be entertained by all these color combinations on screen and yay, immediate satisfaction because I got the score to go higher or whatever. It didn't really seem a whole lot to me. To be honest with you, I had to ask for clarification that is this game actually out right now? Because with so many of these side Pokemon offshoots, I never really keep track of them because I'm just not that type of player to be invested in. You know, even back in the day with like whatever it was, Mystery Dungeon and all those little side offshoot Pokemon games. When this game was being shown off today and it was like, now we're calling it Pokemon Remix. And I was like, it's weird that they're doing this for a game that's not even out yet. And then Tim was like, no, it's out. I was like, oh, okay, good, good, good.
Yeah,
good.
I lived it. I experienced it. It was real. It happened to me. So I'm like, oh, great. And it's free. You know, for what it's worth, it's free to check out. Like if you see it and you're curious, because that's where I landed. I'm like, oh, puzzles are good. Pokemon's good. This art's adorable. It's like some of my favorite art, I think, across the series with some of the worst gameplay. I do think to your like a game you'd play on the toilet comment, you know, fair. But like there's so much good content to experience on the toilet. That's not even enough. You know what I mean? Like we have TikTok. Like it's not going to be able to compete even in that very niche market. But, you know, maybe I'm being really harsh on it. I know there will be people that will be like, oh, it's meant for a more, maybe like a lower age range or something, but it just doesn't really hit for me. So, you know, we'll see if maybe they ever do anything cool with that side IP, which brings us to Pokemon Masters EX. It's having its 2-year anniversary. This was that mobile game and they're going to have like a new legendary event, Howling Shield of Eternity, and the power of Dynamaxing are coming to the game, which I do really like Dynamaxing. So that element's cool. And it's running from around 11 p.m. PT on September 15th, players can assist Gloria, Hop, and Leon as they try to help the legendary Pokemon Eternatus, which has arrived on the island along with a mysterious meteor. Playing through the event, you reward players with the Sync Pair, Hop, and Zamazenta gems and other useful items. During the event, Cygnus Suit Leon and Eternatus will also be making their debut in the Sync Pair Scout, so trainers can add them to their team. And basically the way this gameplay worked is you had like these different pairs and like you'd go through like the missions and everything. This is another one that didn't really like hit for me. I spent a little bit of time with it simply to do some like very encyclopedic level guides work. Did you spend any time with this game at all?
No, not at all. I was actually about to ask you if you like, did you play through Sword and Shield and or both or whatever one?
Yeah, I played through Shield.
I was kind of surprised to see Hop kind of getting this limelight after kind of being the butt of every joke and being the kind of loser little brother to Leon in that game. So I'm happy to see that he's kind of, you know, moved to a higher echelon with Gloria and Leon. I think it's just what a glow up. Good for him. Good for Hop.
Yeah, he's coming into his own, really building those skills. I mean, it's been 2 years. Like, you know, get it together.
Figure your life out, Hop, please.
I think this brings us to probably the most, like, at least the most popular or in a way renowned of this kind of side games that they highlighted, Pokemon Go, which what is hitting its, like, is it? Has been, what, 3 or 5 years? It's been, like, a long time with Pokemon Go. But the Galar region stuff is making an appearance. Yeah. 5 years. That's crazy. August 20th to August 31st, we're going to be getting Wooloo, Scorvet, and Phalanx will be encountered in the wild, while Galarian legendary Pokemon Zacian will be making its debut in 5-star raids from the 20th to the 26th, followed by Zamazenta from August 26th to September 1st. This is cool. I mean, I honestly haven't played Pokemon Go in a really long time, so I'm not going to pretend like this is what I've been clamming for as like a member of the community, but I think it's cool to bring in the Galar region Pokemon for sure.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I was, like anybody, really hardcore into Pokemon Go when it came out 5 years ago, and then slowly fell off after about 3 months, which is honestly a lot longer than I thought I'd be playing it. Oh, look at that little, what's it,
Meep? Yeah, Wooloo.
Wooloo. I was going to call Bo Peep. I don't really know a whole lot of Pokemon. But yeah, great for Pokemon Go players, right? There's still a very hardcore devoted fan base out there. So they'll get what they need from this, hopefully. But as for me, it's just something I won't ever likely hop into. It's something about mobile. something about mobile games, Janet, and I'm just worried about battery, and it always, I'm always kind of constantly paranoid about that stuff, and I don't really know what the transition was for Pokemon Go during COVID. I wasn't really sure what they did for that to kind of, you know, I think they were like, hey, play at home now. I think that was kind of the angle
they
that
sort
they took.
Did some adjustments to, like, the meta and, like, how you can get lures and things like that and, like, incense. But I think they've switched. They've since, like, kind of rolled some of that back. But then I don't know if they're going to, like, re-roll it forward because of the Delta variant. So I do know there's been there's definitely, like, documentation of that out there, you know, for those that are curious. I believe The Verge has done some coverage on it and or Polygon of sort of how the community has shifted over time and the wants and demands of the community in the midst of the pandemic. But, yeah, I definitely think that that's something I thought of, too, with, like, you know, I think the tagline is, or they mentioned, like, going out and playing, like, the real world combining with Pokemon. And I'm like, ooh, no, thank you.
I'm good. Sorry, hold on. I'll chill.
I just, my headphones had come out of its little plug, yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of how they kicked it off. It was just sort of quickly getting all that info out of the way and then digging into the good stuff. Or the more, I think the stuff that people more so came to see, right? So we have Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl. I'm going to just quickly go over some highlights. They talked about the Super Contest Show, which includes a rhythm game. It's kind of like a little contest for a little pageant type thing for your Pokemon, which I do want to point out in the trailer. Seeing like Machamp dance gave me like visceral flashbacks to Final Fantasy VII Remake's Honeybee Inn dance scene. Something about like the way like he was like spinning around and posing. I'm
it's
like
the same mocap artist.
Yeah, I'm like, this is like he's getting into it. Like he's about it. Like he came to play today, you know. They showed off Pokemon decoration, which is you know, not new. It was in the older game as well, which I do want to know, did you play the originals when they were out or are you new to this?
I have played every Pokemon game that is the mainline sort of, you know, Pokemon games. But I've only ever beat Blue, Gold, and Sword, which just came out. So, like, all of those Pokemon games in the middle, I put maybe 5 hours into and then just kind of gave up because whatever was happening in my life. And so when it comes to any of these other versions of Pokemon, I just don't really have any knowledge about them at all, which is why my knowledge of the Pokedex in that whole era from, like, Gen 3 up until recently, I have no clue what the hell's going on.
Yeah, the gaps really do start to form for those where I'm like, who is this? Are they new? And they're like, they've been here for 80 years. Yeah, I think it does make these kind of not difficult, but it's interesting watching these as someone that, you know, I'm new to Diamond and Pearl. This would be my first time playing any iteration of it. And I'm like, this is cool. Is this new? And then people are like, no. Or like, this is new. So it's kind of, you know, having that you kind of go in with different expectations or feelings about it. I know in y'all's live reaction, like Tim mentioned, I don't know why I'd play this other than the old one. I'm like, because it's new and it's like slightly changed. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Pretty.
Yeah, I think the chibi art style really lends itself well. But they showed off, speaking of it being pretty, the Pokemon decorations for like the Pokeballs. We can put little stickers on them and it changes sort of what effect happens when the Pokemon pop out of their Pokeballs. You can have stuff like confetti and little different things happen. They spend some time focusing on the Grand Underground where you can dig for fossils, but also decorate your own secret base. They mentioned Pokemon hideaways, which are new. And it's gonna, the Pokemon that appear in those hideaways will change depending on what kind of statues you put in your base. And some Pokemon can only be found in those hideaways. So it's definitely gonna play like a really significant role if you're someone that is dedicated to completing their decks. I am curious though, Andy, do you like that there's integration with like, you can decorate your base and that has gameplay ramifications, or would you have preferred if you could just decorate it however you wanted without having to worry about like the gameplay consequences?
When it comes to the decoration part of it, I don't think it really matters to me. I'll do whatever I need to do. And I think mostly because I'm not super tied to the franchise. Now, if there was something as deep as, you know, based on how you customize your character, that's kind of like, if they were to go that deep with it, I probably wouldn't be too big of a fan, because it's like, well, I don't want my trainer to look like that. But if it's something like a base, a mechanic that I am just not tied to whatsoever, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever I need to in order for the Pokemon that I want to pop up.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was separate, but at the same time, looking at like the little statues, I'm like, I don't think this was really like my aesthetic to begin with. So I feel like I'm not really losing a lot of like, here's a little green statue and here's a little blue one. But it is interesting to kind of have those be combined or tied to each other. And then one thing to note is that the underground adventure you can do with other people, local or wirelessly, like go looking for fossils together. There's clothes customization, which is new to this game. So they showed off some different styles. You had like winter style, cyber style. Are you big on customizing your character in Pokemon? Is that something that you look for in these games?
Yeah, when it comes to that RPG aspect and making it your own and putting yourself in that adventure, 1,000%. I don't ever really expect a whole lot from the customization in Pokemon games. Again, when it comes to, there's always four, maybe five hairstyles. And luckily, all that stuff has been expanding slowly but surely. And hopefully I hope we get to a point where there is a bit more customization, similar to how you customize characters, you know, your Miis on your Switch. You know, I hope that we get to that level where I can make my ears bigger and maybe I want to add a mustache or a goatee or some shit like that. I guess it's kind of weird being a 12-year-old with a mustache and a goatee. But I don't know. I just hope that shit keeps on expanding and they see that, yes, there's a lot of people who really care about this aspect of it, and it makes them that much more sort of into the game, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I love the sim elements of Pokemon. Like, anything that, in general, I'm a big fan of doing stuff within a game that isn't part of the primary main focus genre of the main focus gameplay of the battling and the catching. I'm like, nah, I'm trying to like shop. Like, I'm trying to go to the mall.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out here grinding for money specifically to buy like a really expensive leather jacket that doesn't even look that nice. Like, that's how I spent a lot of my time.
That shit was cool in Sword and Shield, and even in Pokemon Unite, that feature is very much there, Janet, where again, a lot of it is tied to microtransactions, but there's some cool ass shit that I'm like, oh, I really want that hoodie. That hoodie looks dope as shit, and it's got this cool color combo. Oh, and I have those shoes that have that color accent. It'll match perfectly. Like, I care about that stuff that much, where put that in your mainline game and make me care even more. Now, does that add a shit ton more work because you have to find the translation from the big version of you to the chibi version of you? Yeah, that adds a decent amount more of work to kind of get that moved over, and now I'm wearing a green jacket. How does that look on the chibi form? So there's sort of those ramifications when it comes to game dev, but I'm all for just more customization. I think Pokemon games and Nintendo games need to really lean into that more, and I think the hardcore audience will be a lot more pleased with it.
Yeah, and I think too, like, speaking of side games having good customization, Pokemon Go had some really cool avatar customization. Granted, you did have to start out with those like weird shorts with the tights underneath, which I was not a big fan of that look, but you had like all these little backpacks and hats and things.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was really cool. And then the big thing from here that a lot of people were talking about was the follower Pokemon, where you any Pokemon you have can follow you. I know you said that you kind of missed some of the gens, but do you have any ideas that come to mind of Pokemon that you would want to follow you?
I mean, it's always a Growlithe or an Arcanine. I mean, yeah. Those are always my homies. I've always, you know, Jad, back in the day when I played World of Warcraft and I'm a Night Elf hunter, I got to have my big cat or my big wolf with me. And like, they're my homie. They're my, they're the person that's going to be there with me, or the Pokemon that's going to be there with me, or the creature. We're going on this quest together. I just love the feeling of that. So when they introduced the follower Pokemon in, I'm already forgetting which
Yellow
iteration it was. Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, as early as Yellow, I loved that shit. I'm just like, this makes me love this franchise even more, that me and my homie are just going on a great adventure.
That was like the whole reason that I know I got Yellow, and I think a lot of people, you know, someone in the chat had asked, like, what was my first Pokemon game? It was Red and Blue, and then Yellow specifically for that Pikachu to walk around.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah,
and then, like,
I forgot
I
to mention that Pikachu was one of the other ones, or Yellow was one of the other versions that I beat or whatever. But yeah, I mean, what a great little addition to that. And oh my gosh, nothing better than opening up that neon green Game Boy Color that my parents got me with Pokemon Yellow in it. It was such a great Christmas.
Yeah, like, and going back and playing the games, like, now, I will say the quality of life stuff really does start to wear, but the sprite work is still just so pretty in those older games. Which also brings me to the question, you know, DHR Ruvenator asked earlier in the chat saying that, oh, I want a 2D HD style Pokemon game like Octopath Traveler. Is there an art style that you'd like to see Pokemon take on, especially for these remakes where they're maybe like playing with that a little bit more?
I mean, you know, what Tim and I have our disagreements about the Pearl and Diamond and these versions and their art style. I think they're cute as hell. But as soon as Tim brings up, look at Link's Awakening remake. I mean, look at how striking that is with the tilt shift and how there's more depth to the textures where, yes, I understand in this game, it's very much that cartoony cel-shaded style, but you can still do cel shading. We've seen it done a million times where, you know, characters can be cel shaded like anime, but your metal materials are still going to look shiny and kind of metallic, and your water is going to be really shiny and shimmery. And I think that this game is kind of missing a bit of that. And when I think of Link's Awakening remake, I think of how great the material and texture work was in there. And as somebody who did game art, and I really enjoy that aspect of it, and I still often read blogs and look at like the latest tech and stuff, I'm such a huge fan of that. So Link's Awakening remake would be the exact sort of thing that I would look for. And it's why I want a Zelda's Oracle of Seasons and Ages remake in that same Link's Awakening remake style. I think that would suit this so perfectly.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool, especially because it has such like a diorama feel to it. And mm-hmm. I do think that's sort of where Pokemon began, where you had like that kind of above angle. And obviously it did shift. It's interesting seeing them still kind of have the same formula of like one style in the open world versus shifting when you go into battle, because you do see that in this game. Obviously this isn't, you know, one-to-one with like Pokemon Red and Blue, but it does kind of remind me of that. Yeah. And then the last thing from this section is a special edition Nintendo Switch Lite Dialga and Palkia edition will be released on Friday, November 5th, 2021 to commemorate the launch of these titles. And it basically just has black, like silver and gold decals of these Pokemon. And then the rest of the system is like gray or like black or sort of like in between those two. Are you someone that gets those special editions?
I mean, it's got this sick ass gunmetal look. I'm totally not that person, and I'm glad I'm not, because I would just not have a whole lot of money. But I mean, visually, all that shit's always so striking to me. Whenever there is a really cool color combo, and whenever Nintendo puts out special edition Joy-Cons or anything like that, I just like, I get really excited and I see how dope it looks. And I think, man, like my old Switch is kind of like, Andy, you barely play your old Switch. Quit like fucking doing this. I bought the OLED version, Janet, and I don't need it. I never play handheld. It's always docked. But I know that when I go home for Christmas, hopefully Delta keep that shit away, Delta. Hopefully when I go back home, I'll be on the plane playing Pokemon on my OLED Switch. So like,
and then it'll all be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I think of like the limited edition stuff, I think of somehow back in the day where I didn't have an Xbox, but the green see-through Halo version was out. So that's the Xbox I got. And then my cousin ended up buying the Halo, I forget which one it was, but it was like the Xbox 360 that was kind of silver looking, and it had a bunch of cool shit. Like those special edition shit do a lot for me. Do you have the Animal Crossing one?
I do have the Animal Crossing one. It's not as obviously interesting to see when it's not in the dock, though. I do have the box here.
Oh, because the dock has those.
I'm one of those nerds that keeps the box. Which, you know, if you do move, that can be useful. But
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, the dock, I think, is definitely the highlight, where it's just so decorated. And something that I've been kind of salty about, not that I want more reasons to spend money, it's just that, like, what I loved about this edition, I think it's the only special edition console I've ever gotten, and I didn't need it because I had a day one Switch. So, you know, you could argue, like, oh, there's a slightly better battery life through that unofficial relaunch where they had the same SKU. But you know, y'all know what it is. But other than that, there really was no reason to get this at all. But I just felt like there was such care taken into it and such commitment to the theme. Yeah. I feel like too often they want it to be like neutral. But I'm like, if I want a neutral, I have the base console. Like, I want this to be sort of, you know, in your face and a little crazy. And I am kind of bummed that a lot of the special editions seem to lean on the light. I guess that's nice from a financial standpoint, but it'd be cool to have like my main console be but like right now my main console is a special edition console because I use the Animal Crossing Switch, so it would have been cool to see something like that for Pokemon, even if it was just as an option. But I don't think, it doesn't seem like most of the special editions lean that way.
I think for the visual art style of this game, you know, as cool and as epic as the legendary Pokemon look in Pearl and Diamond, I feel like the limited edition Switch Lite looks a little too epic. Like, it needs to be cuter. Give me cooler color combos. Or just give me, like shit, you were just holding up your Pokemon mug. Give me a Switch Lite or a normal Switch that is so Pokemon themed where I don't know, it has aspects of what make Pokemon Pokemon and not just like gunmetal with epic Pokemon on the back. Like, I don't, that shit doesn't really get me excited, to be honest with you. I need, I would never buy a Switch that has like Mario on it, but if I could buy a Switch that where the Joy-Con kind of had his color scheme, like it was red and maybe it had like blue on the half and the buttons were yellow to kind of look like his buckle or the buttons on his suspenders, like stuff like that, I'm really into. I'm into more color schemes and stuff like that, as opposed to just throw Link on the front of this. It's like, it's kind of like gaudy. It's a little
too agree.
Much
reminds me of that, like the special edition Wii U, like the Legend of Zelda one. Like,
yeah.
It just like, I mean, it was, they did the assignment, but yeah. Like, I was not a big fan. And I know a lot of people got that one because obviously Zelda's like a huge IP, but like, it doesn't look that great. But yeah. That brings us to Pokemon Legends Arceus. Here is the breakdown. So your job in this game is to create the first Pokedex, which we already knew about from the other trailer that we saw. But Jubilife Village will be your central base, and you're part of the Galaxy Expedition Team. So that's made up of different divisions, medical, security, and survey, which you seem to be part of the survey one. I don't know if you get to, you know, do anything with the other ones, but there's the professor who's all about like the ecology. You have Captain Celine, who's the leader of Survey Corp. You have Commander Kamado, who oversees the entire galaxy team. And those are just a few of the characters they kind of highlighted in this trailer. And then they talked about having base camps that you set up, kind of like little tents that you pitch or that are already pitched, where you prepare for survey work by buying items or crafting items. And you can also go back there to rest and recover if you need to heal up your team. And once you're done with whatever like expeditions you have, you know, maybe it's like, okay, I need you to find such and such a Pokemon, you can go back to the village and sort of complete that mini quest or job. And then they show off catching Pokemon, which involves getting close to and aiming the Pokeball, so you actually have like movement over where you're going to actually aim it. Like, you have to manually do the targeting. I don't know if they'll add like an auto targeting feature or something, or if that's already in there. And then if you want to battle a Pokemon, you have to just toss the ball of your Pokemon near that wild Pokemon. One really big thing is the battle changes they made. So they now have the option of strong style versus agile style, where the former is more powerful, but it's slower. And then agile is the inverse, where it is, you know, a little bit weaker, but it's faster. So maybe that speed addition will be so that you can, you know, do back-to-back attacks more. Speed is like huge in terms of Pokemon. So them having that kind of push and pull is really interesting. And they highlighted a dodge roll, which this was wild because they showed the dodge roll kind of in isolation when they did like that sizzle reel. And I'm like, why are we out here? Like, we just out here rolling, like we're just demon soulsing it up, like in the field. What are we dodging from? And then a little bit later, they show Ursaring, who's like that really big bear Pokemon, and like all the other Pokemon going crazy with the red eyes.
Shit.
And
holy
yeah, the
cow.
Blood Moon Pokemon. And then Luxray straight up just like electrocute you. Not like your Pokemon, not like you. Like, you're out there, you're squaring up. Very much, you know, Ash fighting Mewtwo, spoilers, vibes in the
You're
mid-
in danger.
Yes, like, this is real life. Like, you're out here in the streets. And also show some rideables. So they showed, I forget offhand, like, all the Pokemon that were shown as rideables. I think they did show, well, I'll talk about the new ones and we can kind of tie back. But gliding, water, and then land. With the glider being, I think, the most, like, wild looking one, because like it's just like you have whatever Pokemon up top flying.
I think that's Braviary is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's a Braviary. It might be then the which brings us to like the next part with new Pokemon and new forms. There's a Hisuian Braviary and a Hisuian Growlithe, with Braviary just, you know, cool and different design. Growlithe has like fluffy bangs that cover its eyes, and like I think it's partially like rock, or like it has
like
a rock component.
It's got a little horn on top. Yeah, a little horn.
It kind of looks like, I forget like all the names of all of the Pokemon, because that's, but there's a Pokemon that actually has a similar design with the bangs and the little horn thing. If anyone remembers, let me know in the chat.
This
but for new Pokemon,
this little fucker is the cutest thing ever. Like this Growlithe, Growlithe is already adorable, and they just found a way to just amp that shit up to 11. Good job.
Yeah, I love that Growlithe. It is so cute and it's so warm and fuzzy. I love it so much. And, Rawr deer. I'm not exactly sure.
Rear deer.
Beautiful. That was my first note. Like, I think this thing looks gorgeous. I believe it was also shown as one of the rideables, and it evolves from Stantler. And then we also have Basculegion, who evolves from Basculin. And that's the one that a lot of people are talking about because of the dark origin of, I think, like, if it, something like it collects enough of the spirits of the dead Basculin, it like evolves into this more powerful being. So that's kind of horrifying,
this
but also
little,
very
this
much.
This freak is gigantic. Like, yes. Janet, if I were, do you want to guess on its height and weight right now?
Wait, bravery or Basque Legion?
Basque Legion.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, height and weight. The height. You said it's really big, so I'm thinking
this
like 9 feet.
Is, what'd you say?
9 feet.
You're close. It's 9'10".
Damn. Okay, and 9, then weight. 10. It's got to be a Bufa boy. And this is one. I think this is one of the rideables too. Mm-hmm. Okay, weight. I think it is categorized because I did briefly see the Pokedex. I believe it's categorized as like a heavy or like a whatever Pokemon. So I think it's going to be like 300 pounds.
A little bit under, a shade under. It is 242, 9'10", 242.
Okay.
Put this motherfucker in the NFL. Holy cow. This is a big ass dude. It's a big ass fish.
It's a big Bufa boy. Yeah, like I was really into these. I think they all look really cool. I like that we got a little taste of the new and then also got a taste of the forms as well. But overall, you know, that's all the information on Arceus. What are your takeaways? What are your highlights? What questions do you still have?
I wanted to call out how I don't love the name Weirdeer. And like, because it's like this thing looks so fucking majestic and epic. And
Weirdeer.
It's like, what's your name? Well, I'm Weirdeer. Like, oh. It could have been so much cooler. I thought this was going to be a bit more when it comes to combat. Because we're still in this sort of turn-based stuff. And I'm now getting to the point where I'm just, you got to accept, Andy, that this is just what Pokemon will always be. And yes, there may be iterations on turn-based. But I thought we might see... When we keep seeing this dude dodge rolling all over the place, like you were mentioning earlier, I wasn't sure what the context of that was going to be, right? And then we sort of saw hints of what the combat would look like. And you're still in turn-based. You're still kind of, in this case, you know, you're having an order of moves or whatever, which I think is still pretty neat. And is it enough of a change to get me really excited about the combat? Not necessarily. What excites me the most about this is that this seems, I mean, the idea of having missions, the idea of having a team with you, telling you, maybe go check out this place, maybe go check out this place, and not having this linear path of, let me go down here, gym leader. All right, next place, gym leader. Next place, ooh, story plot, plot twist, gym leader. Like that stuff kind of, you
something
get into
in
that.
Space.
yeah, exactly. And once you get into that rhythm of it, it's fine. And that's Pokemon, and that's what we've come to expect. But the idea of kind of having multiple quests to go do because homegirl with no eyebrows is like, we need you to go over there, young trainer, and we need you to find this in this rocky area, you might see something. And just having that sense of adventure, I think, feels a lot grander in scale. Obviously, not only with what they showed us visually and how the main mountain is in the middle and everything sort of surrounds it. So we see how it looks from the winter side, from the whatever biome we're looking at. I think all that shit looked really damn cool. Would I love to see this in a higher resolution running better? 1,000,000%. And I understand that the defense of it is, look, Pokemon's never looked great. It's about the gameplay, but like, okay, but we can still improve a little bit, you know? We can still improve a bit, Janet, visually. And it still kind of bums me out that it looks the way it does. But I'm still very excited about it in the idea that it's not this linear, you know, kind of go down the path and do what you're expected Pokemon-wise.
Yeah, do you think... Also, I'm just holding up this lone little Cyndaquil. Do you
so
think
cute.
This is... thank you. I love Cyndaquil. Such a cute Pokemon. Do you think... And then turns into a badass Pokemon. That's my favorite, like, progression.
Starts really?
Starts cute, becomes badass. Yes.
Oh, sure.
You can, I also am okay with starts cute or starts like pretty and becomes like more elegant as long as you don't become like too elegant.
Okay.
And then it gets weird. And then it like, and then it gets weird, you know, like don't become too like person like.
Well, I mean, I called it out in that trailer that we saw today. I don't know if it was in the trailer part and not the, hey, I'm from Nintendo and I'm talking over what the gameplay is going to be like, because we're seeing all these Pokemon in the wild kind of existing, and we see the Bidoofs, and I forgot whatever the hell else we saw. But then we see that one Pokemon that I believe is the third evolution of one of these starters. And like Homegirl is like standing at 5'4", just kind of walking around looking like she's wearing a dress, but it's a Pokemon and it's that green sort of leaf looking lady.
Oh,
and
the one everyone like thinks is beautiful?
It's so bizarre to see
Gardevoir.
I just love, and Blessing's like, man, she pays taxes. Like, that's a human being walking out around there. And it was just so bizarre, kind of in contrast to seeing a buffalo type looking Pokemon. And yeah, then, like, we it's have like, all these
beaver and then a grown woman.
Yeah, just like a straight up woman fairy living
who's
in the forest.
Who's to say what's out there? But we'll see how this turns out. I think it does look more open than we've seen in the past, but I feel like we keep having that conversation and then it keeps not being enough. Not to say that like Sword and Shield was bad by any means, because I think it's a great game.
I think the
wild area definitely left something to be desired, and this looks like a step further, but I'm like, well, I've thought it was a step further before and been a little bit let down, so I'm not really sure, you know, where it's gonna shake out, but I'm excited to see it. I'm not excited to try to play two Pokemon games in their entirety within a month span of time. This is the shortest window in franchise history of mainline games.
Damn.
Between like, you know, and I know you could argue like, oh, well, one's like a remake versus like a progression, but yeah, it's going to be a lot. Before we get to the rest of, oh yeah, go ahead.
I did just want to call out that with the sort of wild area in Sword and Shield, and how I thought that was so cool, just seeing other people driving around and be like, wow, those are other trainers. I'm glad that aspect isn't existing here, because this is supposed to feel like this sort of closed off experience where you are in the way early stages of what collecting Pokemon even looked like. And I just love that sort of historic aspect of I'm doing something here where we're kind of laying the groundwork for what catching Pokemon looks like in the future. And I love that feeling of we're the first to do this. Really cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun shakeup of the formula. Before we continue on with the show and the rest of our stories, let's get a word from our sponsor.
This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Canva Pro. Making content is an essential part of what I do to keep this show going, but it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. Of course, I just get to come on here and yell at you, but somebody's got to make graphics, lower thirds, little things that pop up and go whoopity whoop whoop. Raj is making stuff right now. Make it go, Raj. Whoopity whoop whoop. How does Raj know how to do that? How does Tim know how to do that? They use Canva Pro. Of course, Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Whether you're a design professional or just getting started, designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. Choose from thousands of professionally made templates that are easy to customize with simple drag and drop features, or start from scratch. Canva Pro comes with endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that add personality and edge to whatever you're designing. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/KFGD and get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/KFGD. Canva.me/KFGD. Our next sponsor? Well, it's HBO Max. This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is sponsored by HBO Max. Many of us are plumbing the depths of streaming platforms, searching for something new to watch, looking for an entertainment fix. And if that's true for you, boy, do I have a suggestion. HBO Max has same-day movie premieres of the biggest movies of 2021 every single month. Yeah, that's right. The biggest Warner Brothers Pictures releases will be available in your theater and your living room same day. Of course, we just lived through Suicide Squad, right? James Gunn, The Suicide Squad. You know what? A bunch of people went and saw it in theaters. I stayed home with Jen. We watched it here on HBO Max. We had a great time. Suicide Squad and so many others will be available, are available, whatever you want to say, in theaters and on HBO Max for a limited time and at no extra charge to subscribers. Release dates, of course, are subject to change. So get on it and sign up for HBO Max at hbom.ax/KFGD. Again, that is hbom.ax/KFGD. Our next sponsor, it's KiwiCo. KiwiCo is defining the future of play by making it engaging, enriching, and seriously fun. Super cool hands-on projects and toys designed to expose kids to concepts in STEAM, that's science, technology, engineering, art, and math, are a great resource for learning at home. And you might say, hey, Greg Miller, aren't you about to have a kid? That's right, person. That's why I have my first KiwiCo crate right here. It's the Panda Crate, which, of course, as you can see right here, maybe you can't, says ages 0 to 0+ months. So as you open it up and you see, bam, look, today I'm 1 month old. When you see this on my Instagram, my child, this pillow with the month card in there, not only will you know how many months old my child is, you'll know KiwiCo. KiwiCo wants kids to be fearless innovators and design projects to help them develop that muscle. If you want to sign up for KiwiCo? It is simple. You can do it and support us. You can go to kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. That's kiwico.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. KIWICO.com/kindoffunnygames to get 50% off your first month. Let me swaddle you.
Let's go over Ubisoft Studios being under investigation over sexual harassment and workplace discrimination reports. This comes over from Kotaku. The Tripartite Alliance for Fair and Progressive Employment Practices, aka TAFEP, Singapore's national workplace watchdog, has launched an investigation into Ubisoft's local studio following allegations of sexual harassment and workplace discrimination. As the Straits Times reports, TAFEP began receiving its own anonymous reports late last month following the revelation that the studio's office culture was so bad that, quote, Ubisoft Singapore has always been kind of known internally to be one of the worst Ubisoft studios in terms of culture, said one former developer at the publisher of Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. People would visit from other studios and be like, what the fuck is wrong here? Jesus. TAFEP is now urging, quote, anyone with knowledge of any criminal conduct, such as sexual harassment and assault, to immediately report such incidents to the police. As a national watchdog, the organization has the power to force Ubisoft Singapore to change its workplace policies, and employers may be tasked to carry out an investigation through interviews with affected parties and witnesses, and to review documented evidence. The Straits Times reports also says the results of the investigation can be dealt with in one of two ways. In cases of sexual misconduct involves criminal offenses such as molestation, the police will be involved. While issues of workplace discrimination, Singapore's Ministry of Manpower can take punitive measures such as blocking Ubisoft's ability to apply for or renew its work permits for foreign staff for a period of 12 to 24 months, which would impact 60% of the studio's, quote, expert and senior expert roles. The investigation comes following reports that the company culture at Ubisoft Montreal, Toronto, Quebec, Montpellier, and the head Paris office have also been found to be rife with harassment. Obviously, you know, a really heavy and weighted issue. But what is your read on this, and how do you think it has, you know, will shape Ubisoft going forward, and how has it maybe affected your perception of the studio, especially as we continue to cover these games that they have coming out?
It's such a bummer that I'm not trying to make a direct comparison here, but when there was a new shooting that would happen, and I'd go, wait, are we talking about the one that happened last week? Oh, this is a new one. And that's how it's sort of getting with these stories. And it's getting really, really just depressing more than it already is, where there's just always a new story and there's always a new allegation and there's new word of abuse out there. And then the fact that quote of what the fuck is happening here? What's wrong with this place? Like, can you imagine running a studio where that's how people think of your studio? Like, that's the outside sort of like, oh, you're going over there. Oof, good luck. Like, it is really bad over there. I don't know. It's so difficult to talk about these issues because there's just so much of it happening. And it's getting really sad that every week there's a new story to talk about. And this is not the place to joke, Janet, but I do want to just call out that the report is from the Straits Times, and Straits is spelled STRAITS, not like straight.
A line.
Yeah. Well, it just sounded like a story. Like the Straits Times is like, these are straight people talking, and this is our, this is a,
no, for sure. Or if anyone really wants funny. To look at the actual like core source that Kotaku is citing. But yeah, like, you know, I agree with a lot of your sentiments. I mean, I think obviously, it's really disheartening to continue to hear this information, but it's also like, I think really important for outlets to continue doing that coverage and create that cohesive timeline, because it is so much to keep track of. And I remember like seeing this right now when I was, you know, building up the Rena show and being like, okay, like let me try to like briefly trace some of the history of the allegations and things that have come out of Ubisoft, because obviously Ubisoft is a multitude of studios. Like, it's not just, you know, one single building or one single place, and it has like all these moving parts. And we've seen stuff like, you know, people step down or get fired and things change, but things not change enough. And then employees, you know, writing open letters, and then people being like, we hear you. And then they're like, no, you don't. On the side, people are like calling for unionization. And it's just really starting to like go ablaze in a way that I think, you know, is needed, right? There's that old saying of, you know, when you like, what is it, like a few cracked eggs can like help make an omelet or something like that. Like it sometimes it does take tearing things down to build it up to what you want it to be. So, you know, I just hope that happens. And it's been interesting to see, too, how this can sometimes shape or coincide with these different presentations that happen, too, because I know sometimes we end up seeing like, oh, here's like a post from the studio about like all the information. And then the next day it's like it's hype time. And I think it is important to, you know, obviously we're here to cover games and talk about the content of those games. But I think it's also so important that we acknowledge that ancillary information that ultimately does go into, you know, how the games are made and, you know, whether or not these games are good or created in an ethical fashion. So, you know, we'll continue to track that as it develops.
Yeah, you just hope that the changes that are being made are enough and are the people reporting that these changes are enough really the ones that were even being affected. And that's always kind of the worry. It's like who whenever we hear, oh, well, don't worry, this executive has been taken away from the role. OK, but they're still left on to do other stuff, or they're still a board member or whatever. Like that's the stuff that really kind of starts to worry me. And, you know, will this ever be enough? And God, I hope so, because it's just it makes an already sort of tortured space to be in even worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once again, with this just being like the news of the day, totally shifting gears. Kazuma Kiryu from Yakuza is in Sewer Monkey Ball Mania, which is like such like the most lighthearted thing after something like incredibly dark. But this comes over from Eurogamer. A lot of people were talking about this when that video trailer dropped. And the Yakuza protagonist is a playable character, free and unlockable through normal gameplay on all platforms at launch, Sega said. The news comes hot off the heels of confirmation of Sonic and Tails being playable in Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania. Like Kazuma Kiryu, Sonic and Tails are free and unlockable via normal gameplay, and selecting them switches, you know, the bananas to rings and it adds in classic sound effects. So were you shocked by this? Have you seen this trailer already?
It looks adorable as hell. It reminds me of when you'd buy the little bouncy balls from like the vending machines or whatever.
Yes, or you turn a little quarter.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yep. Oh yeah, I guess not vending machine. That's not the word I should have said. But yeah, it looks adorable as hell, and I'm starting to already think about what other properties could really vibe in this space. Were you a big Yakuza fan?
No, I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, and neither have I. But I obviously very, very. Recognizable face, so I mean, it just looks adorable as hell. Anything chibi, like I'm in.
Blows me away too is like it looks cute, but like he also looks so pissed off.
Yeah, he's going.
Because of like
running.
The constant frown, like he's just not having a good time.
The furrowed brow, like I don't want to be trapped in here.
Yeah, like he's like, can someone please let me?
Why
out
are
of
my
here?
Legs so tiny?
I think too, like, well, who else would you want to see inside these Super Monkey Ball little orbs?
I mean, shit. You know what? Voltorb. Just a ball and a ball. Like, just a ball and a ball. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other franchises that would... What really self-serious character would I want to see in this form, in this chibi form? You got to go with, like, Joel from The Last of Us. I think just somebody... who's just really dark and demented, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's really good. Yeah, I would love to see, obviously, like, there's, you know, the Sega tie-ins that make more sense, but I do think, like, since it's coming out on so many platforms, it would be super cool to see it have, like, platform-specific characters. I think that'd be really fun. Like, when Minecraft came to the Switch, like, they had, like, Mario stuff in there. Like, what if you had, you know, Super Monkey Ball, but inside the orb... was like one of the Fire Emblem characters or something like that, you know? Yeah. Just like really start wilding out with it.
Let's get Jim Carrey from the Sonic movie,
right? You know? Like just like at like a actual IP tie-ins. Mm-hmm. Like how you see in Fortnite, like Ariana Grande, like put her in the orb.
Exactly.
Like why not? Let's just shake it up. Is this a game you're gonna pick up when it comes out? Are you a Super Monkey Ball fan?
I've never been a big fan. It's will it be
Does
something
make
I dabble
you want to get it?
No, not at all. Not
really,
at all.
It makes me see. Now I feel dumb. Like I knew I was dumb, but like now it kind of makes me want it because it looks kind of dumb, and like I want to roll in that way. I don't know.
I think it could be a fun party game that maybe we do for a big stream, or it's just like some silly like let's have fun with this game, like we do with a lot of our multiplayer games, where we hop in for an hour or two at best, and then say, all right, that was fun, next game. You know, that was an experience, and I don't really ever need to go back to it. But yeah, this is not something that I would likely be playing in my free time, because there's just too many games. It's too many games that I'm already don't have time for that I am interested in, you know?
Yeah, it's like kind of TBD for me. Like, I'm semi-interested in it, and I feel like people in my apartment would want to play, but I've never been like the biggest fan of the franchise. I will say I loved playing though in the arcade, because like depending on the arcade machine that you'd have for it, like you could like I've gone to ones where they have like a giant ball and you can spin the ball, and it's that I think that makes it really fun when you have really like cute. A wonky peripheral. But yeah, there he is now.
The Japanese running mad. Arcades
it's a suit that
have,
does it too.
They always have way cooler peripherals. Let's just. We need to step our game up. Anytime I go to Japantown, and I haven't been to Japantown, San Francisco in a while, but all of the cool like bongo games and all the cool yeah, little peripherals yeah. that you can interact with are way
little
cooler
drums,
than anything we've ever had. Yeah, yeah. All
yeah.
that
did
shit's
you,
really cool.
This is like available at a lot of Dave & Buster's before we get to the next story, but have you ever done like the Luigi's Mansion arcade machine?
No, there's like a
oh
vacuum?
My god, you have to. Yes, it's like they give you a vacuum and it's so freaking cool. Chat, let me know if y'all have ever done this or like on just on let me know if y'all have experienced this. It's like my favorite thing. They give you like an actual little vacuum and like you have like the coins getting sucked up and you feel the coins go in there based on like the sound and the feeling. It's like you have not lived
That's
until
really
you play the
cool.
machine. I've looked up the cost of that machine because I'm like, I kind of want this. It's like at least $10,000 to $20,000.
Oh, Jesus
it's
Christ.
It's so expensive, but I want it so much. I feel like it's not going to be complete. Yeah, here we go. You're pulling up the video of it. Thanks so much. Yes, it is an experience and it has the co-op in there. You're seeing it now if you're watching the video version. And it's just so much fun. And it's decently challenging, too. Like, you know, it does take a while to get far enough into a run, but... yes, it is very
I
good.
Thought
I think
it
originally came
like
out
that.
In Japan. Yes.
I thought it was going to look like that, similar to that one firefighter game where you have like the big hose that you're just kind of kind of reminds you of that.
In general, like I feel like if we're at the arcade, like I only want to play stuff that is ridiculous and oversized mm-hmm. and has crazy like attachments. That's the way to go. And then to close out, let's jump to our last story, which is abandoned gameplay reveal is a few months away, but the trailer app will be updated sooner. This comes from IGN, and I feel like I can't be on the show without talking about this game because literally every time I come on here, there's like some little bit of news about it. So here is how the article reads. After a delay, the abandoned real-time trailers app finally went live last week, but only showed a 4-second teaser that had previously been shown on Twitter. Speaking to IGN, Blue Box founder Hassan Karama explained that a planned cinematic trailer will be released soon. Quote, what we had in mind was actually a 30-second teaser with more content in it. But then we had engine issues and we had to make sure that we could solve it in time, but then we didn't have enough time. We're still hoping to correct the opening teaser with the original footage. We will also put some content in there that we haven't announced. It's definitely worth keeping an eye out. Should people keep the app on their console? I think it's best to keep it, but if you need the storage, just delete it and we'll inform you on Twitter when more updates are made. It's a 5 gigabyte download. The story continues with, quote, we have to show gameplay because people are nervous. You have a lot of mixed feelings. You have people who are angry. You have people
who are
looking forward to the game.
We're just confused. We're not nervous. We're just...
He's getting to it. Skeptical. They're like, no, the game doesn't exist. And it's completely fine to say that because you haven't seen the game, let's be honest. Really just being very transparent. But Karaman insists that a first full showing is in the works. We're working on the gameplay reveal, but right now it is not ready for the public to see. If you show off the very first impression of the gameplay, that is the most important footage. I feel like we're past most important first impressions, but we want to make sure that that is polished and good enough to showcase. You seem to have a strong... feeling here. My only status is Tim isn't here to scream into the abyss, but what's your read on this situation?
I sleep. I just sleep. Like, I'm so tired and of hearing about this, and I don't ever want to hear about it again. And it's going to make for a really good documentary, I hope, in about 5 to 10 years.
Danny O'Dwyer, get on it.
Where you just go through the making of it, and how did we get to this place, and why is this something we even care this much about? And I think it's obviously because of all the Kojima ties that aren't really ties, but now it's become a thing. And yes, we shouldn't be shitting on them, but also don't do what you're doing and don't continue what you're doing. It's just This is just, there's so much blame to go around, and I am just so tired of hearing about this, because there are a million other games that deserve way more coverage than this, but this has kind of become its own fucking fire fest, you know?
Yeah, I think that's like a great succinct way to put it. At the same time, like, admittedly, like, I cannot look away. Like, I have to.
It's a mess.
With every piece, I'm just like, yeah. Well, how often do you get to be in from the ground up of a story, you know, where it's like, I feel like we all collectively, and again, like, you know, you mentioned, like, maybe other games are more deserving that have, like, they do have their stuff together. And I do feel that, because, like, it is so hard to get your game out there. But at the same time, because it has, like, that PlayStation backing and weight, like, that's why people are paying attention to it. And then from there, it just has spiraled into just a mess of things and accusations. And I totally am with you, where, like, no one should ever be, like, harassed or yelled at, or even, like, at a certain point, like, I'm not gonna, you know, no shade to anyone that's done it necessarily, but I'm not gonna, like, tweet the developer, like, LOL. Like, I just don't feel like doing that. Like, I don't think that's necessary or helpful. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you kind of put yourself in the situation, and now we're just, like, watching it just sort of burn into the abyss. But and we'll see when we see it.
Yeah, again, like, I know you and Tim already talked about it, but the internet exploded, and they said, no, it's not that. It's not that. Please don't think this. That's what it is. It's definitely not that. And then you go, oh, shit, never mind. They seem really apologetic, and the guy was, like, crying on camera or whatever. And then I believe it was after that the still frame comes out of the dude with the eye patch, and it's like, stop fucking doing this. Stop. Like, you're making people more mad, and that when they come after you and start talking shit, you can't say that, like, hey, please, like, we're just trying to make a game here. Like, no, you know what you're doing. You're, like, you're creating unrealistic expectations, and when it's going to be disappointing, it's going to bum you out, and you can't necessarily just put all the blame on the people that are angry. And again, I'm not excusing the completely just rabid, ridiculous people online that are doing the death threats and all that crazy shit that happens, because that stuff is totally inexcusable. Obviously, we know that. I'm just saying, like, for anybody who does think that this could be more, you're going to make them even more pissed off and more disappointed. So just stop with the teases. Just put out a normal trailer like any other studio would do. Just please be normal about this. We don't need an app. It's so fucking silly. It's so silly.
Yeah, it's definitely been, like, dragged into something that I don't think it needed to be. You know, I always ask this question, which is, if no one else has done a thing, is it because they haven't thought of it yet, or because it's a bad idea? And I feel like, right, this trailer app is an example of it being a bad idea.
It would be one thing. I just want to say this real quick. It would be one thing if this were Konami. If this were Konami doing something like this. Or if it was any other, I don't know, I'm just, like, I'm trying to think of any other.
They're the only, like, pageantry level. Like, you have to know, like, when people know you, you can kind of get away with certain things. Right. Obviously, that's not always the case. But even seeing, like, you know, for a long time with, like, Bethesda, we were like, oh, the games are always buggy. And then at one point that did turn, and people were like, this isn't okay anymore. Even though this is who you've been for the entirety of your career. But yeah, there is, like, when you know certain people, you can, you know, they can get a read on your tone and your style a little bit better than something like this.
Yeah, if this were a dev with prestige and or a former director of a really popular, like, if Ken Levine was out here teasing something this big and was like, this, download this app, it would be just as ridiculous. But we go, it's Ken fucking Levine, or it's whatever person that made this other really big franchise that's known for something. But when it's an indie dev that nobody knows who they are, and you're doing this, and it's, and you're teasing all the Metal Gear stuff and or Silent Hill stuff, or whatever it is the fuck you want to say it is, anything like Kojima related that you're sort of hinting towards, but you know you're not being genuine about it, it's so stupid. I'm just so annoyed. It's annoying.
It is. But actual abandoned gameplay is so far away, which I feel like is always my segue now, because I always have these abandoned stories. But if I want to know what is coming to mom and grub shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Mayhem Brawler on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Rogue Explorer on PS4, Xbox One, Switch. World Soccer Strikers 91 on Xbox One, Out of Line on Switch, Tetris Effect Connected on PS4 and PC, Swords and Souls Never Seen on Switch, Mortal Shell on PC, Hell Architect on PC and Mac, Far Away on PC, and Country Balls Heroes.
Country Balls
on PC.
Heroes.
Yes, who could forget an iconic moment for everybody. Andy, do you mind clicking on the You're Wrong and seeing what we got wrong? Well, I mentioned our host for the rest of the week. Thursday, we got Tim and Tam. It's Tim Tam Thursday. And then on Friday, I believe we have Greg and Ryan. Is it Penagos? Penagos? Maybe? Yes? No? Maybe so?
Yes. The second one. Penagos.
Penagos. Thanks. And then if you're watching live on Twitch, does anyone know what we have coming up next before we touch on the You're Wrong and sign off?
I believe Greg is going to be streaming a game.
We're
I
also
believe.
Doing a town hall, right?
You know what? I'm going to be asleep, so I don't. That's a good question. That's a good point right there, Kevin. But as far as You're Wrong goes, you can write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to let us know if we screwed anything up. We have Nanobiologist writing in with saying Charizard and Venusaur 2 of the Gen... Charizard and Venusaur. Oh, there's a missing comma. Sorry. I thought you were saying Venusaur 2 as if there was a sequel to Venusaur. Charizard and Venusaur. Two of the Gen 1 starters are in the game. Blastoise was featured in the mobile beta but got pulled at the full release. Great to know right there. Gabe Hewitt says the silver Xbox 360 Andy reference may have been the Halo Reach edition. That's the one. It really had that cool startup sound. Let's see. Nano also writes in that Gardevoir, it's a Gen 3 Pokemon. It's not one of the starters. I thought it was, you know what it reminds me of? The little fucking Snivy snake little guy. I thought Gardevoir was the third evolution to that snake looking thing. But I'm wrong. Kebabs also writes in that the Gashapon capsules, which are the balls you get with quarters, are what inspired Pokeballs. That's why Gen 1 and 2, there's no button. They're literally just Gashapon balls.
Oh, that's cute.
Very cute.
Good to know. All right. Thank y'all so much for watching and writing in with those You're Wrongs. Now it is time for the post show. We're supporters at the silver membership or above on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get this. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.